other day I was at a grocery store and someone was like just hacking up a lung next to me with no mask on. I was like, God bless it. Come on.
Oh man, please, please be tuberculosis. Like, yeah,
I mean, come on. I can handle a little bit contagious. Of TB, yeah. Yeah. Even though that's not great either. But you know.
No.
Well, I'm excited for when you had sent me a message, you were like, hey, you know, looking for some more people to come on your show. By the way, I'm a sexpert. I was like, like you had me at sexpert. So yeah. Welcome back, everyone. Laura was, so to speak, with RHFP. Sarah, my co-host, is not here today. She is actually at the Air and Space Museum dealing with 112 temperature, walking her extended family around. So I feel bad for her. I wish she was here because that sounds miserable. But we're joined here today by Courtney. Courtney, tell me a little bit about yourself. How are you?
I'm so great and excited to be here. Thank you.
We're excited to have you.
Yay. So a little bit about myself. Let's see. I am a relationship coach and sexpert. We currently live in Germany with my husband, who's active duty army, and my three kiddos. I enjoy massages, coffee, and red wine.
You sound like my type of person.
Yay. Yeah. All right. I'm so excited.
How old are your kiddos?
They're 8, 10, and 12.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've got a 3 and a 5-year-old, so you'll have to tell me what it's like having a little bit more independent children. Is it harder? Is it more complicated?
It's nicer. Like this morning I woke up and my oldest had brought me coffee and an English muffin with like toasted. And I was like,
oh my gosh,
having older kids is so nice. And then I like get to deal with her mouth sometimes. And she's like, no, I'm not going to do that, mom. And I'm like, ooh, okay, let's try that again. So... there's a lot of sass in the preteenness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My 5-year-old is going on 15 and the amount of sass that comes out of that mouth, that's really my driving to drink story later is just complaining about that 5-year-old because it's just a lot.
Yeah. Then you'll be ready for when they're older. Mm-hmm.
God, that is that when they like start, especially the, I mean, you know, this is a relationship coach probably too, but like, is that when they start kind of hating their mothers? Like, or does it start early? Does it start at 5?
You know, gosh, that's a great question. My oldest was really mad when we moved to Germany. We were at Fort Bragg in North Carolina and we loved it there. And then, we moved here 2 years ago and she like, you know, I had to fear for my sleep sometimes because I thought she was just going to
smother me.
Yeah. Or that too. Yeah. But yeah, 10 was a tough, 10 and 11 was tough, but 12, she's starting to appreciate me a little bit more because of my relationship expertise. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're like, this is going to benefit you later in life when you have issues with boys and you just need somebody, you know, to talk it through with.
Absolutely. Yep.
You're like, I've got you. You just don't realize it yet, but I'm a cool mom. Right.
You're welcome. Yeah, but you still have to clean your room. So
yeah,
good luck.
I'm pretty sure my 5-year-old thinks I'm really lame too. She's like, you don't like princesses? What the hell's wrong with you? What do you mean that wasn't a thing? Yeah. So you said you were at Fort Bragg?
We were at Bragg before we got here. Yeah.
Yeah. I went to school kind of close to there in Laurinburg, North Carolina.
Okay.
Most people have never heard of it. And Fayetteville was like where we went for a good time, which says a lot because Fayetteville's, I wouldn't necessarily call it a good time. It's where I got one of my like tattoos that looks like a prison tat. It's like, if you look, it's a star. They did a terrible job on it. And like, it's bled through, it's spotty. I mean, it looks like something I would have gotten in prison. And, I need to get it fixed, but we called Fayetteville Fayette-Nam.
Mm-hmm. I didn't understand why people called it that until I went and it was like, my husband's like, it's really just like tattoo shops, strip joints, nail places, and Korean barbecue maybe, or something like that. And I'm like, it can't be that bad. And we went and I swear it was like deja vu. Like oh my gosh, like, are we on a different street? No, it's just the same, like, strip yes. after strip of those same four things over and over again.
Oh, we used to go to like the mall there. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I was like, why didn't we just spend like an extra hour in the car and we could have gone to, you know, Charlotte or Raleigh? Like, why are we stopping at Fayetteville? You know, and of course, like being an 18-year-old too, I was like, oh, that's a tattoo shop. Didn't do any research. None. You know, it was a dingy hepatitis. One.
Right.
Yeah. So there I did get tested afterwards because I was like, you guys, I don't think that was a good time. It's fine. But I mean, it's permanently on my body now. So, you know, yeah. And like as an 18-year-old does, like you walk into a place and you're like, you know, I didn't think this out, but I'm going to get a generic looking star right on the wrist. I'm not going to regret this when I get older.
Never. Nope.
I got really like the worst case of food poisoning from like a from a buffet in Fayetteville too. So just, you know, good times. Good
I know, times. Just racking them up. Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh. Well, Germany sounds way cooler.
Yeah, it has been. I mean, this lockdown's been pretty rough. So things just started opening up now. So like hotels are finally starting to open so we can actually go places. But gosh, for the last couple, you know, year or so, it's been rough.
And how long have y'all been there?
For almost 2 years.
Okay. So you experienced it before lockdown and then you got
that. 9 months before. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that had to be rough.
Yeah. And then my husband deployed and I was like, oh, you're going to go, I'll stay here. Okay. This is fun. Yeah.
What did you do like during lockdown? Could you go anywhere? Cause like,
oh no.
Okay. So do y'all live on base?
No.
Okay. So you really didn't have, you had nowhere to go. You couldn't.
No. I mean, we like, it wasn't like we, it wasn't as bad as Italy where we could actually go like to stores. I mean, you had to have the masks, but I mean, when I say stores, I mean grocery stores. Like that was really all that was open and we could exercise like outside and, but yeah, it was an adventure for sure.
My sister-in-law lives in Spain and theirs were pretty strict, like Italy. And you know, you had to have your card and if you weren't with your like card or whatever, and you had to go like, it was like work, grocery store. That was it. Mm-hmm. You know, get gas. That was it. And, you would get fined. I forget what it was. Something insane.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
And I mean, she works in the tourism industry. So, I mean, I think they gave a couple of government bailouts. But I mean, if that's literally your livelihood and you can't do that for a year.
Oh, yes.
So they're doing better now. I mean, everything's starting to open up in Spain. But, oh. And then to keep your kids home, because I think she had to homeschool. Like I know that in some European countries, the kids were still going to school. Were y'all lucky that they were still going to school?
Yeah, so they were off and on. So we have our kids in the German system. And mm-hmm. so back like a year or so ago, like when it first happened, they completely were homeschooled. But in Germany, it's illegal to homeschool. Like if you're a German citizen, you can't homeschool.
Really?
Yeah, I know. And so the infrastructure just wasn't set up to support. And all of these parents are like, what do we do? Because the education system is just so different here. Like, like parents do not teach. Like that is the school's job, you know, very socialistic in that respect. So it was like, oh, here parents. So, and we live kind of in like the West Virginia, Arkansas of Germany, like very rural and
so little Appalachian.
Yeah.
People making moonshine.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Or blue wine.
Not sharing it with us. So so it was very like, there's no, like, they're not handing out laptops or, I mean, they didn't have anything virtual until September, October, like 6 months later. And even then it was just
I imagine the internet's not great too.
No, it's not. It's not like Korea. I've heard Korea is amazing. And here you're like,
Yeah. I mean, we went to Korea in 2012 and they had 5G then. And I mean, faster than ours. I mean, it's blazing fast. There's other things that are a little wonkadoo, but I think you'll find that probably with anywhere you're stationed. But yeah, I can't complain about the internet speed there. But I mean, even my sister-in-law, they live in a pretty populated city in Spain and their internet is just all of it. I think we just get used to like really good internet. And then when you go somewhere that has like kind of spotty or it's just not the same performance, you're like, what is this shit?
Yeah. What, excuse me, who do I need to talk to?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Who's the tech support here? Nowhere. You're in the middle of nowhere. No. Yeah, no. You get no. And by the way, you got to figure out how to teach your kids.
Right.
Exactly. We're not going to give you any support in that either.
No. Good luck, guys. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine are little enough that when their preschool shut down, like it was, you know, whatever, not a big deal. And luckily they were able to go back in the fall. No problem. But,
oh, good.
Yeah. And now we have, you know, no masks. You got people. The other day I was at a grocery store and someone was like just hacking up a lung next to me with no mask on. I was like, God bless it. Come on.
Oh, man, please, please be tuberculosis. Like, yeah. I mean, come on.
I can handle a little bit contagious. Of TB, yeah. Even though that's not great either. But, you know.
No.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm excited for when you had sent me a message. You were like, hey, you know, looking for some more people to come on your show. By the way, I'm a sexpert. I was like, like you had me at sexpert. So
tell me more, please. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sad Sarah couldn't be on for this because I was like, we're having a Millspouse sexpert on the show. And all I kept thinking was that Salt and Pepper song. So So tell me a little bit about like how you got involved in that aspect of your mental health coaching. And is it like more mental health? Is it like mental health coaching, relationship coaching? Like where do you kind of find your niche?
Yeah. So when I was in, I went to college originally. I thought I wanted to be a lawyer. And so I was pre-law. And then my junior year, I took a sex, gender, and politics class. And I read The Women's Room and it just totally changed my life. And I went to a small Christian college in Eastern Washington in Spokane, Washington. And I met my husband there and I grew up in the church. And anyways, so I told my parents, guys, you know, I don't want to go to law school. I think I want to study sex instead. And they're like, hey, this is fantastic. So, okay.
Let's do a hard right.
Yeah. Way, way left. Yeah. And so.
Or hard left, I guess. Not right. You're going away from right. You're going left. Right.
And so, anyways, I had gotten into graduate school in Indianapolis. So I got married at 22. My husband and I moved out to Indianapolis. He had gotten into med school in the meantime. And so I didn't like the program in Indianapolis, found a program on the East Coast and ended up just flying there several times and got my master's in education in human sexuality, worked as a sexuality educator for a few years and realized that like people would come up and like ask me these really personal questions and I just didn't have the qualifications to answer them. So I decided to go back to graduate school, got a master's in mental health counseling. And then we moved for his residency. I opened up a mental health and sex therapy practice in Washington State and did that for a little while. And then we moved again because Millspouse life.
Yep.
And then at that point I had a newborn, a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And so I decided to stay at home with them and just did some consulting work. And then we moved again. I know this is getting kind of old,
It happens.
Yeah.
Story of our lives.
Yeah. And so then at that point, I realized this licensure thing is a bitch. And so I switched over to the coaching model because it's not a regulated industry, which has its, you know, good and bad points, but it doesn't require licensure. And so that allowed me to kind of just create my own title and my own business. And so, yeah, I predominantly work with people who are looking to improve their relationships. Usually what brings people into me is they're feeling disconnected. They feel overwhelmed. They're super successful. Like in life, I work with a ton of high achievers, really high up military, doctors, lawyers, teachers, and they're just miserable. Like they've got everything like on the list, but they're like, I'm not happy. And so we work on their relationship with theirself, and that in turn improves their relationship with others, better sex, stuff like that.
Yeah. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
And so you've been doing, how long have you been doing coaching aspect?
2.5 years now.
Okay. So basically right before you moved here. or I guess in Fayetteville you started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going to ask about the licensure, because like that's a huge holdup for most military spouses right now, is like you have a higher degree, or, you know, you're a professional in whatever field, and you're just crushed by having to pay fees for exams or licensure, or like just dealing with the bureaucracy of how long it takes.
Yeah.
So, and like certain states are better than others, but not all states are created equal. So
exactly. Yep. And every state has different rules, and like, oh, well, this one requires a supervisor in-house, but this one requires a supervisor at a, you know? And so I was like, I don't want to have to jump through the hoops and like, you know, and then, cause I'm like, I don't know when we're going to move again. So
Oh man. Oh wow. I've got just so many questions about
that. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. Ask away.
Well, okay. So I posed this a question to our followers too, cause I was interested to see if they had any questions.
Ooh, okay. Yes.
And a lot of them brought up a similar theme of like, reintegration, and then like dealing with deployment dry spells, and like, how do you, or port calls, because we have a pretty big Navy following.
Okay.
So I was interested in that too, of like, does one reintegrate like in a healthy way? Like, how do you keep the sparks alive? Like during deployments, all that good stuff. Like, what do you normally suggest for people going through that?
Yeah. So the best thing is to talk and communicate before deployment. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know that some people don't have the luxury. They're like, okay, I leave tomorrow or I leave tonight. And so they don't have that luxury to have that conversation of like, so what are your expectations in terms of like phone sex or like, you know, I mean, they just, they don't have that. And so being able to go with the flow, but a lot of us, you know, have at least a few days or a couple weeks or, you know, months lead up to where we have an idea, we have a general idea of how long our partner is going to be gone for. And so having that conversation of like, hey, what are your expectations? What is the deployment like? Are you going to have phone access? Are you going to have video access? Are you going to have privacy? You know, and because like for my husband, when he was deployed to Africa, the guy who went before him and came back was like, oh yeah, you guys can video chat every day. Like the internet's super great. And so in my mind, I'm like, oh, this is so awesome. Like getting my expectations. Okay. Lined this up. When he got there, it wasn't the same. Like they had changed the internet provider. So there was no video option now. And the phone service was like, I swear astronauts had better connection than we did. Like, so all we could do is send text messages, not video, like text messages, which I'm so grateful for. But that required some reworking of expectations, which is also, you know, a step later down. But going back to, so what the heck do I communicate about? If talking about sex and desire and pleasure are not common themes in your conversation, then it's going to feel really awkward to have that conversation before the partner leaves for deployment. My suggestion is just push through the awkwardness so that you can set yourself up for success. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just really no easier way of, because what happens is one of the partners or both of them are like, I mean, I just like, am I supposed to ask him about like masturbation or like pornography or, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, have those conversations, but we have either our own emotional baggage, our own sense of shame from these issues. Yeah. And so then that prevents us from communicating. Then we don't. And then that's what really gets us into trouble. And in terms of, wait, you were looking at porn while we were gone? Like that's a deal breaker for me, or like that's cheating, or that's whatever. And it's like, well, you never told me that I couldn't. And then that's where resentment and frustration and disconnection happens. Whereas if we had these conversations to begin with, and it's not that you're negotiating, but it's like, hey, this is my feelings about it. What do you think about this?
Yeah.
This is what a lot of other couples do. Are you open to considering this? You know, those kind of conversations. So starting there.
I'm not very good at sexting or the phone sex. No. I mean, I think because I'm always constantly laughing, or like I have a hard time taking certain things seriously. So for me, if I was to try to send a sex to my husband, he would just be like, what the hell are you doing?
Is this but, really Laura? Is this, I don't think
so. Yeah. Like who has her phone right now? Right. How hammered are you? Like, right. It's just not going to happen. Same with like, I'm not going to send him a nude, right. But I know for some people, like that's an important part of absolutely. Like, you know,
yeah.
When they're gone and deployed. And I mean, we were lucky. We've always had decent ish internet. So like sometimes all we could do is text and that was enough, but we could video chat. It just depended. I think the first time we went to Afghanistan, the internet was real bad.
Oh.
I feel like it gets progressively better, you know, the longer they're there, because they get better providers. But the second time was a lot better. And I feel like if that's what you're into, you could have done it. But I imagine for some people, like, that's really frustrating because, like, yeah, you set yourself up for, especially if they've never been before. And so they don't know.
Right.
And you don't know until you know. So you get there and you realize your internet is like, all you're going to be able to do is text. And then, you know, for a lot of our Navy followers, like they don't talk to their spouses until they're doing these port calls, which sometimes like they're out at sea for like long periods of time before they make a port call. So like, you got to invest in like some good hardware and that was like some of the advice I gave to like some new spouses, which it's funny to watch some of them blush. Cause I was like, listen, like get yourself a really nice battery operated boyfriend.
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah.
Maybe you and your spouse can pick one out, you know, for you, but like invest, don't get one of those like crappy $20 ones, you know, get yourself one that's meant for the long haul, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, preach it. I also think that, you know, deployments are really great opportunities too, especially if you have those big gaps in communication where you are able to like get to know yourself sexually. Like so often we as women are pleasers and we have just been raised to become so dissociated from like pleasure in our bodies and like really feeling good in our bodies. And so that's a good time for us to explore and not have that pressure to perform, but to really be like, do I enjoy this? Like, does this feel good? Or am I just doing it because this is what I think I'm supposed to like?
Yeah. I got a couple of, I got really into romance novels. And so there's a romance novel. I don't think she wants me to like out her name because I think she's run into people in the past that I don't know if they like harassed her or what, but anyway, privacy things. But she is a mill spouse and she wrote a couple of romance novels and
good for her.
They're good. And there's a theme of, there's three of them that it's like a fighter pilot theme. So guys, if you want the info, send me a DM and I highly recommend. I read those things cover to cover within like a matter of a week. And then read them again. And I still have them. I've told a few people, and like the cover art, I mean, it's like a guy, super hot guy, like, you know, chiseled abs in a flight suit that's like zipped down to like basically his penis.
Oh man, that's fantastic.
He's like all oiled up.
You got his aviators on too, because that would be fantastic.
Oh yeah. Okay. And then like dog tags. They never wear dog tags, but like he's got his dog tags on and like no shirt underneath, just abs. And
abs for days. Thank you.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know if someone had recommended. I think I just found it. I think I literally, because I was like trying to think of a meme or something to do with it. And I just Googled like fighter pilot romance novel. And these like the series came up and I was like, oh my God.
Wow.
And like it follows three different characters. Like they know each other and stuff, but each book is a different character. And I mean, my husband Pete was like, so do they talk about like, you know, because a lot of romance novels are like, he touched her mound.
Yeah,
like his member. And I was like, no, these are graphic. Like it's like reading porn. And I read it a lot when he was gone or TDY. So it's like, well, that's what I'm gonna do. A couple of my friends read 50 Shades of Grey. That's not really my jam, but those ones were good. And then there's a couple of, like I read some of the Outlander stuff and that one, I think I feel like romance novels are kind of what I'm into when he's gone.
Yeah. I love it. That's so great. Yeah. Finding what you like, right. And what brings you excitement and what gets you through. And So that's the first kind of step. The second step is really to adjust those expectations and be ready to recalibrate. So if you're like, okay, well, I had planned on, you know, doing, you know, phone sex or video sex or whatever, and now we can't, like, what's our plan A or plan a B or C or D here? Or I have a roommate, like I've talked to lots of couples who, you know, they had great internet, but then they didn't have any privacy. And so they're like, sweet. This is really, I don't know how I'm going to jack up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so just trying to, again, navigate that. The reintegration is really just like being open-minded to like their state of mind and your state of mind. And I think where a lot of couples get tripped up on is because they've been emotionally disconnected for so long that they've lacked that familiarity. And so now I have almost like not a stranger, but someone who can like kind of feels like a stranger and like, do I know you? Do I let you into my body? Do I like, how does this work? So I think one thing to help with during deployment that's not really sex per se related is really trying to increase that emotional vulnerability. And so finding ways to connect with like, when was the first time that you cried or what was like your favorite place to go as a kid? Or, I mean, just like random, kind of like dating questions, but just like, gosh, I feel like I'm getting to know more about my partner that I never would have had we just been like, how are the kids? How was work? Cool. You want to watch a show? Great. You want to get it on? Great. You know, like just kind of the typical relationship cycle. And so I think what I've seen the most successes with couples who are able to invest emotionally and be vulnerable emotionally while they're gone. And then that makes the reintegration so much easier.
Yeah. And I know for some people, like that's really hard to be emotionally available. Like even for me, like some of that stuff felt kind of goofy. Cause like I have a few friends that were really good about it. They're like, yeah, they wrote out questions and like they sent like cute little questionnaires to the, you know, each other or they wrote letters and like love letters and things. And I'm like, I can't even imagine writing a love letter to my husband. Like also again, because I don't take life very seriously. Like it would be very hard for me to be serious in a letter. Like my husband would be like, are you being sarcastic throughout this entire thing? And I'd be like, well,
I can't tell.
So, but I know for me, that was a struggle of like, cause you can get wrapped up in just like the day to day, especially if you have kids, it's like, you know, I end up not talking about myself. I end up talking about the kids. He's like, how are the kids, you know, how are the kids doing? Oh, they're good. You know, Bailey did this. Charlotte did that. You know, the dogs are great. And then you kind of forget to like plug them in on like how you are doing.
Right. Absolutely.
Plus, like, I think we run into the issue of like, if there's something going on in the spouse's life, like their mission comes first. So like, there was a lot of things like the first deployment, especially where I had a lot of like family drama between my parents and me and my sister and stuff. And I don't have a great relationship with my parents. And a lot of that came to head when he was gone. And so like, I told him bits of it, but I didn't want to tell him too much. Cause I'm like, I don't want your head. I want your head in the game. Like, I don't want your head. And so that I think can make reintegration more difficult. Cause you're, they just don't understand, you know, what is going on behind the scenes. So how do you find like balancing that with like, you want them mission ready and thinking about their job, but you also want to let them in on like how you are doing?
Yeah. I think one way is to ask them and to be like, hey, like exactly what you said, like, I want your head to be in the game and I don't want you to be distracted. And so knowing that, what kind of information do you want me to share with you?
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're self-regulated enough to be like, I don't listen to when you say that anyways. I mean, not that they would, you know, like say that, but I know sometimes when I talk about my business and I get really excited about like, oh my gosh, to my husband, I just read this book and it's got this technique. And I'm like, oh, you know, and he's like,
You're like, are you even listening?
Nope, not even listening, but that's okay because I don't care. Like I'm just so pumped. And I understand that he knows that I'm excited about my job and my work, and he sees that passion, even though he may not remember exactly what the details were. So yeah. I would start by asking, and then usually they're like, yeah, it could be a distraction for me. So maybe if you just like held off on X, Y, or Z, but still shared with me how you're feeling about something, you know, because so many, and I know not all of your listeners are going to be heterosexual, and it's not always the male that's deployed. Yeah. But typically the male in the relationship is a fixer. They want to fix. Mm-hmm. And so when we're sharing problems, it's like, oh, okay, well, I want to fix that. But then they're, you know, 3,000-6,000 miles away. And mm-hmm. so then they can't fix it. And so then that's what leads to frustration. And then it's like, well, then why are you telling me this? And so being able to communicate like, hey, I just need you to listen. I don't need you to fix it.
Yeah.
That way your expectations are clear and their role is clear. That really helps a lot.
Yeah. And that's hard. I mean, my husband and I have done couples counseling before briefly, and like, just, you think you're a good listener until you realize you're not. Like, I was always thought I was a good listener, and I was like, you know, I feel like I give good advice. I'm not necessarily great at taking it. And it's like, well, that's not the point. You're not supposed to give advice, and you're not actively listening. Like, you think you are, but you're not. You don't know what the hell you're doing. And, you know, I think same thing. He's a fixer. So like, he's also acts of service is his love language. So like, you know, like he's just emotionally wired to want to fix things through like usually some type of physical act and some stuff like that, regardless if they're physically around, like you can't fix.
No.
So, you know, being able to listen and like really listen and not try to give advice, not try to fix it, just let that, you know, your partner be vulnerable in that space and make it a safe place for them to talk about it is hard.
Yeah.
Especially far away. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I encourage, you know, people to do that. But usually what happens is the deployments don't break the relationship. There's the issues beforehand, and then the deployment exacerbates it.
Yeah.
So if you are struggling with communicating or listening or sharing or being vulnerable before, or sex before, which a lot of couples do, that deployment is just going to just blow it out of the water and make it even worse.
Yeah.
And so then reintegration is going to be even harder, you know? And so that's why if you can get ahead of it and really be on top of it and figure out ways to, hey, we need to like sit down and talk about this. We need to, you know, get into counseling or coaching, or you need to go see someone, or I need to work with someone or whatever. That's really where the important work is done, yeah, is before, so that the deployment isn't right. Because you're in a high stress situation on both accounts, mm-hmm. you know, like it's a perfect breeding ground for, you know, disconnection and infidelity and the whole works.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like the ops tempo being what it is too. I mean, like it's hard to work through problems if they're constantly gone and then you have problems ahead of time. And it's, yeah, I would say that definitely like our first appointment was harder because we were slightly disconnected mm-hmm. before going into it. I mean, I think, you know, we were able to get through the other side and we're more connected, I think, now than we have been. But, you know, and we've done now 2 extra deployments since then. But I mean, yeah, that's a huge one. And I feel like that's good advice for not only just like new spouses and you know, new people in the military, but everyone, you know, mm-hmm. it's only going to make it worse if you're not kind of getting to the root of the issue prior to leaving. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I'm having like PTSD flashbacks.
I'm sorry. Of deployments
and, no, you're fine. You're fine. You know,
oh my gosh.
And that's the thing. I mean, there's, I think a lot of people too, like, you don't know what your expectations really are with deployments. You have this, I guess you have an idea of what it's going to look like, but it usually is not. It's like the same with kids. Like I had an idea of what it would be like to have children and it wasn't that. Mm-hmm. And even sex after kids, cause I was going to touch on that one. Cause I think that mm-hmm. for like my chapter in life is hard because like especially when I was breastfeeding or I just had these kids and you're like, the last thing I want to do is get like physically touched after like my baby won't leave me alone and won't stop touching me. Mm-hmm. And like you having to be able to turn a switch and be like, okay, these like things that were meant for food are now meant for like play. Like it's hard to turn a switch on like
yeah,
that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I was just wondering what kind of advice you have or something.
Oh yeah. Sure.
We're done having kids, but I know some people would love to know.
The advice for when you're breastfeeding or just even if you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have so many thoughts on this.
Or just even just sex post kids. Cause it's different.
It's different. Absolutely. Like your body changes and some women like have significant trauma to their bodies during mm-hmm. childbirth, post-childbirth, you know, do not underplay that. Like I have been focusing a lot lately on how trauma gets stuck in our bodies if we do not process it, you know, mentally. And so that happens with birth. Like a lot of people are like, yeah, I almost died giving birth. And I'm like, what? Have you talked to somebody about this before? And they're like, I mean, no, it's fine. And I'm like, no, it's not fine. Like,
yeah.
And you'll see with symptoms too, you'll get, depending on the area, you know, you could get like heavy bleeding, heavy cramps. I mean, even years afterwards, difficulty orgasming, UTIs, excuse me, vaginismus. Oh, there's another one. Starts with a C. Ulcer.
You have right? issues with peeing and
yes. Yes.
I forget. What is it? Incontinence. And then just like yes. your separation of the abs. Like,
yes. Oh know. Yeah. Diastasis. Rectus, or I don't know, something.
My husband or you have to go to PT for
yes.
Which I have a friend that did that, and I was like, I'm sorry. They tell me again how they worked out your vagina. Like that's
yeah,
a thing.
Pelvic floor. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So
I'm a big fan of pelvic floor. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean there's yeah, so
I like
many.
A good tight pelvic floor. You know.
Yeah. We do love a good tight. Do those Kegels. You know, like your boobs are different, right? Like they're not like the breast tissue isn't as perky and like strong, you know, they're saggy or they're stretched out.
Weird.
Yeah. It gets weird and that's okay. You know, I think yeah. so often we see a lot of, especially celebrity moms too, who are like, and it's not as bad as it used to be. I feel like there are some celebrity moms who are like normalizing, you know, like normal bodies after baby yeah. and not like I have a six pack and like my breast lift is still intact. And I mean, yeah. and not that there's anything wrong with that. God bless you for the six pack and the perky boobies yeah. still. That's fantastic. But for most women, that's not the case. And yeah. so giving yourself lots of grace and recognizing that this is a season, you know, like it's okay that I don't love sex right now. Knowing if I want to love sex, I can make that happen, but it's not going to be my natural default like it used to be, or if it ever was. So yeah. I'm going to have to try a lot harder and I need to communicate. Communication is one of my biggest fans. I need to communicate my needs, my desires, and you know, the expectations that I have for my partner. What I see happen a lot is typically in heterosexual relationships, the female will stay at home, have the baby, the male partner goes off. She's at home getting pulled on, pooped on, sucked on, you know, like all day long. Yeah. Spouse comes home, like, what's for dinner? The house is a mess, right? So there's that internal pressure of, oh, he thinks the house needs to be a certain way and I need to be a certain way. And so if those expectations aren't discussed, it's not fair for you to assume that this is what he expects of you, unless he's, you know, flat out said it, which a lot of husbands don't. They're like, I don't care if the house is a mess. I'd rather yeah. have her than have a clean house. And it's yeah. usually women are like, no, I want to clean before I can do X, Y, or Z. And it's like, who says that? Like, we got to make yeah. up the rules, you know?
I think we're just programmed that way. You know, like there's a lot of, especially like, so I think even with military spouses, like there's still a lot of standards where, you know, it's unsaid, but like there's huge underemployment issue. There's huge unemployment right. issue. And so a lot of military spouses, especially if their moms are staying at home with their kids mm-hmm. where they've elected to, or they are kind of forced to because of right. lack of jobs. And so like, there are times where I feel like a 1950s housewife where I'm
absolutely.
Should mm-hmm. I be greeting you at the door with like a cocktail at the end of the day? And like, should the house look a certain way? Like mm-hmm. I, and really, yeah, same thing. Mine is like, I just, no, everyone's fed, no one's dead. Like it, mm-hmm. you made it through a day. Like it would be nice if you did laundry more than once a week. And you know, though mm-hmm. you didn't have to wash it five extra times because you forgot about it in the washer. Like, you know, we could, that's a small goal that you, I, for whatever reason, you can't achieve, but you know, like just, you're doing fine. This is a hard time right now, but I think we do. We like, it's a lot of like old internalized pressure mm-hmm. that is outdated now, but mm-hmm. we still kind of hold on to it. Or, you know, I have to look a certain way. I'm like, I'm still, you know, my youngest is 3 and I'm still, I don't like the way my body looks, but I also mm-hmm. don't want to project that onto my kids. But I feel mm-hmm. like then I'm stuck in this rut of, well, what are you going to do about it? You know, like, you're, right. you know, and then I'm like projecting onto my husband thinking like, well, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't exactly. like the way I right. look. And, mm-hmm. you know, we need to have sex with the lights off because I'm on, you know, I'm feeling real bloated. I ate way too much pasta tonight. Right. Really, he doesn't care.
No, don't care. Doesn't you know, care.
He's like, he's excited just to have sex, man. And
absolutely. Yes. High five to that. Yes. And for some women, they want to feel more, they want to feel less mom and more wife, or less mom and more woman. And so knowing those steps that you need to get there. I have a girlfriend who her husband, they have 4 kids, 4 boys. And mm-hmm. he like her, she's like, I will have sex with you every night or whenever you want. If you clean up after dinner, put the boys to bed, you I'm all yours.
That is my love language. We actually
talked about believe that kitchen is clean and the boys are put to bed.
Because
that's, out of 10 times. Yeah. Yeah.
And so for them,
that works.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. Maybe I should do that. I'll be like, clean up after dinner. The dishes. You help me fold this laundry. I will put out tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It fills your cup. Like it makes you feel like, okay, like I have, and it's not that it's like bribery or it's an arrangement or it's a work thing that works for them. And I'm like, I'm all about couples doing what works for them. Like I always tell my clients, it is not my job to judge how your arrangement is, what your life looks like. If it's working for you, fantastic. We don't have to touch that. But obviously you came to me because something's not working for something's you. So let's deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, mine might be a little bit of a bribery situation. I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's still a healthy bribery, but I'm like last night I was like, you play with my hair for a while. Like I'll give you a handy. And he was like, I'm kind of tired. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, I just want someone to like, play with my hair for a bit. And cause I'll get my daughters to do it, but they're, you know, they get bored easily. And it's like, I'm like, I just literally want someone to give me a scalp massage.
Oh
like,
my gosh. Those are the best. Oh, yes. Those are my favorite.
I go see my hairstylist in a couple of days. I'm like, I'll pay you like a little extra. Just massage my scalp for a little bit longer.
Yeah. Deeper, harder,
deep treatment. Like how much is your deep scalp treatment? Like sign me up. Like that's all I want. I'm willing to give you a handy just for this. Like that's, mm-hmm. that is a bigger win for you than it is for me. Come on. Like nothing, but
dang it. No.
So I do stand up comedy sometimes. And, I'm working on a new bit about just sex post kids and mm-hmm. especially with breastfeeding. Cause it's joking. I have a lot of friends right now that are in that chapter where they've just had a baby and they're still like struggling with like latch issues and milk supply and formula versus breast milk and sleep deprivation. And I was joking with them. I was like, you know, like I've never had like super big boobs. When I was overweight, I did for a little bit, but like I've never been insecure about my boobs until mm-hmm. I had children. And it was mm-hmm. like, it wasn't the normal thing of like, well, they're not big enough. It was more like, am I feeding them properly? Like, am I producing enough milk?
Right.
You know, and you don't really realize even like nipples are different. I'm like, I didn't even know about an inverted nipple. I didn't know about like these types of nipple. What is a nipple guard? Mm-hmm. You know, and like having to like breastfeed a certain way, like you get mastitis, like nothing.
Right.
No type of pain is. Mastitis is like on a different level of pain than anything else I've experienced in pain, including like giving child. Like I might even give childbirth again if I didn't have to experience
mastitis. My cervix is awful, awful.
Yeah. I had one friend that had it so bad, like she literally couldn't produce milk out of that side again because it was so bad, so, so bad. Ugh. And like every time she would try to breastfeed, she'd get it again. So it was, I think she just had to give up.
Yeah.
But then you're dealing with like, so you give up and then you got one really big, right. I'm like, what do you do with your bra? I think she, poor thing, had to stuff it. Cause like, oh, you know, man. You got a double D on this side and like a,
yep.
an A on that. Like who,
what I don't is know happening? Where to start on this. Yeah. Oh,
so gosh. It's just, I don't know. Motherhood is great and messy and mm-hmm. it has some not so great stuff in there. And it is definitely hard to flip the switch mm-hmm. and go into like some type of sexual mode after you've been...
I actually created a program. It's really, I think it's like $37 or something. It's called mm-hmm. Flip Your Sex Switch. It's like, it's meant to be done in like a weekend, you know, and it's just some audio recordings workbook and you just go through it and it helps you to figure out how you can flip your switch.
Maybe I need that still. I mean, my kids are 3 and 5, but maybe I need it. I just...
Yes, it's for anyone at any stage.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I would love to. So since our next segment is driving to drink and what's driving you, like, I would love to know what is driving you right now?
What is driving me?
Or you can start with driving to drink, whatever.
Okay, I was ready for the driving to drink one. Okay.
Yeah.
I would say the changes in like COVID traveling policies here. So the European Union comes out with these policies, but then each country makes their own decisions. And you literally have to have like a PhD in traveling to, and I don't even know if that's a thing, but it feels mm-hmm. like you have to, because you're constantly like, okay, well in France, and I know that this sounds so like first world problems, but it's still my problem and it's still driving me to drink. Okay.
Yeah.
France, they're not open yet and you have to take a PCR test. Well, Germany, you have to come back and register online and then you have to have an antigen test. And then I'm just like, what? I didn't even know there were this many tests.
I didn't know. What is an antigen test? Like antibody?
I have no idea. There's like three different tests that you can get and every country requires different. Oh, but if you're only here for 24 hours, oh, but if you're here for 48 hours, and I'm like, oh, what? So that is driving me to drink.
Have you had family come out at all to visit you?
No, it's Germany's been closed since March of last year for American tourists. Yeah.
Spain and I think Italy and Greece, like it was like June 6th, like you could come in. Is that starting to be a thing there? Like if I wanted to go and I've had my test, can I come visit?
Not to Germany, no. I know, it's super sad. They just took the United States and Canada off the high risk area or off the risk area. Yeah. So now we think that's going to be the next step. But honestly, I mean, it's, you know, almost middle of June. Like, give me a break here.
They haven't even updated. Like, so we've got friends that are going to the UK for school and two friends. And since they're all vaccinated, I mean, the kids aren't because they can't be, but they're still making them like do the full quarantine.
Oh, quarantine.
I'm like, but they're not for like tourists. Like you don't have to do that as if you're a tourist. So like, why hasn't the, I don't know if it's like the DOD or just like the agreement between the SOFA agreement between the two countries, but like, yeah, like they have to do a full quarantine when they get to, I don't know if they're going to whatever the UK one is that people go to.
Okay.
But they have to do a full quarantine. Oh, and even after they've tested negative, like, cause I get like you get off the plane or they test you before you get on the plane, they test you off the plane. But it just makes no sense to me that they would make them do the full quarantine unless it has something to do with the kids. But I don't think it does because she made it sound like it's literally anyone that it doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or not. So it's like, oh God, have fun with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't even imagine like, I mean, I love my family, but there is no way in hell I want to spend, you know, what is it, 7 days, 10 days in quarantine with them?
Oh, it was 14 here for a while. Most of the big chunk. Then they chunked it down to 10. Then they went to
I guess that's true. 7. They started with the 2 week.
Yeah. So you're drinking for me because it's that bad.
Yeah. Bless you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're supposed to go to Croatia for a friend's wedding in October. So I'm, like, I think Croatia, we could go right now. Like, we wouldn't have to quarantine. Could.
Nope.
But and then I think we're going to try to go see Pete's sister in Spain. So same thing, like, we're not going to have to quarantine, but that was like the first thing I was like, give me the shot. Like I'm vaxxed. I am not waxed, but I am ready to go. Like, get me out of this country. Get me out of this state, because it is 112 degrees outside right now. Like, I don't want to be here. So I'm trying to think what's driving me nuts. I mean, like, the weather's kind of driving me crazy, but that's, I mean, I've been living in Arizona for forever, so that's not surprising, but I think it's just my kids.
Oh no.
They have summer camp, but they're not doing the full summer camp. We're throwing a bunch of money in our backyard to try to make it nicer. And so to save money, we're not doing full summer camp. And my five-year-old is just, she's just in that phase where like everything is a fight and testing and she's asserting her boundaries, and her favorite word right now seems to be no. Mm. And it's just, I mean, it's exhausting. And I feel like, you know, from sun up to sundown, we're just fighting all day. And then I feel like I'm becoming this angry parent, or like I'm playing favorites, because the three-year-old is just a lot easier to kind of, she's so malleable, you know, and when she gets mad, it's almost, I feel bad because I don't want to discount her feelings, but it's kind of comical because she's just this little angry little bumblebee that, you know, freaks out for a little bit. And then you just kind of give her a snack and she calms down, or you give her some colors and she, you know, crayons, and she's good. But the five-year-old, I'm like, is it time for you to go to kindergarten yet? Because I need you in
boarding school by chance. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, I need a nanny. I can't afford one, but like, I need some help here, because you are a lot of work.
Yeah, my oldest is exactly like that, and my middle sounds just like your youngest.
Yeah, it's so much work. I, you know, at one point we were talking about having three, and I'm like, no, I'm good. You know, I'm good with the two. I can't even imagine.
No,
Charlotte is so like easygoing that I'm like, I'm scared if we had a third, what the third would be like,
right?
I can't handle that. I'm just getting too tired. That's my biggest problem now, is like, by the end of the day, I mean, that's the issue with sex.
Yeah.
You're just mentally, physically taxed by the end of the day, because you've been fighting with a five-year-old little dictator.
Absolutely. Negotiating with like a terrorist.
Yes. Yeah. It's just, and then I feel like I'm kind of dumbed down too, because I'm, you know, we're fighting over, you know, and it's on her level. So we're fighting over snacks and we're fighting over TV time. Mm-hmm. And you know, you got to wear sunscreen. Well, I don't want to wear sunscreen. Well, if you want to get in the pool, you got to wear sunscreen. Right. Like, it's 112 degrees out. You're getting in the pool with sunscreen. Right. You know, I don't want to wear these underwear. They're purple. What's wrong with purple? I don't like purple. Since when? I don't like it. You're like, okay, well, I thought it was your favorite color an hour ago, so I guess I'm wrong. My bad. And you know, mom, you're the worst.
She's throwing out. She related to my child, because sounds just like,
Or like when they don't know curse words yet, but like their version of whatever they're saying is a curse word. Like, I'm like, she's basically telling me to go, you know, F myself, but she just doesn't, she can't say it. She's like calling me the worst name she can think of, which is like, you nasty, mean, stinky poo poo. Mom, no, you're a, she called me the other day a butt face, and I was like, well, that's a new one. Like,
we're proud of you for now
combining those two. But I don't know if you learned that at school or you heard
compound
it
in, word. Yeah.
But butt face, I'll give you that one. So it's just hard. I don't know.
I'm like, there with you.
How we made it this far? Like, and we still have so far to go.
So far. Yeah.
So that's what's driving me to drink today and totally almost pretty much every day.
Consistently. You know? Yeah.
What's driving you right now? You got any good things you're looking forward to or things that you're celebrating right now?
Yeah. So a couple. So this summer we're taking my kids actually back to the States to visit our family, since we haven't seen them in like a year and a half. So
yeah, you got to go that way. Apparently they can't come this way.
No, they can't. So I guess we're celebrating that. we just bought an investment property. So that was really exciting. And my mom and my sister are actually, we bought it for them so that they could move into it. They're our renters.
Nice.
So that's really exciting.
Where is that?
That's in Portland, Oregon.
I've always wanted to go. I've never been to the Pacific Northwest, but I would love to.
Yeah, I love it. And then I'm going to do a rebrand this summer on my business. So I'm excited to been working on that behind the scenes and been working on this whole trauma in the body thing. I recently became a Reiki certified healer. So that's been fun. Oh. And yeah.
What is Reiki? Because I feel like I've heard of it.
Yeah. So Reiki is just, it's like energy work.
Okay.
It's like a spiritual or emotional massage. So you like move through the seven chakras and they can get blocked. And so kind of like how the trauma can get blocked. A lot of it's also, I'm terrible at explaining this, but it is really cool and really fun. And actually, oh my gosh, if you want to be one of my like guinea pigs, we can do distance Reiki.
Okay. I'm
so down. Like, oh my gosh. Okay.
I guarantee you, I have many a chakra blocked right now.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm learning this week. So I will get back to you once I feel confident in it, but okay. Yes.
Yeah. I'm down to clown. And Sarah probably is too. If you need an extra guinea pig.
Yeah. Sign her up. Let's do it.
She's in the throes of it. She got a newborn and a 2-year-old. So I guarantee you, she needs some chakras cleansed.
Oh, let's do it. I need
a lot of things cleansed. I probably need to take a shower too. So just
great.
Yeah. I'm in, I'm down. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. So that's what I'm celebrating. What are you celebrating?
I'm just excited for my kid to start school, but I'm also just excited. We weren't invited by any means. I think we're crashing it, but there's a convention in September called Tailhook for like the Navy and Marines go to. And a lot of our following is like Navy and Marines, like more so than Air Force. We're Air Force spouses. And so we're going to go to this convention and just, I don't know, mingle, meet people, hang out, hopefully
so
sell
fun.
Hopefully sell some merch and network and stuff. But we're really excited. It's in Reno, Tailhook, and awesome. We got our hotel rooms and we're booked. Hopefully by then we're not only vaxxed, but we're waxed and we're ready to
Then you'll be waxed and ready to go. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that. And then we've got weddings in October. So, I mean, we don't have anything coming up on the docket for the next couple months, which is probably good because I need to save some money. But, you know, it's exciting. Like I enjoy the fact that things are starting to open up. Like we just got back from visiting family. I might go see some family and friends, like drive to them, but it's just nice being able to feel like we can do this in a safer way.
And absolutely.
I just forgot how much I missed being around people.
I know.
It's just, we had I hosted I don't know if they do this in the Army, but like a coffee, which is like a social. So I guess what is Army? FRG, like you do
FRG,
FRG mm-hmm. meetings.
Yeah.
So I guess that's our version. It's usually like dependent on your squadron. So like our squadron specific ones, but we hosted a joint one at my house last week and huge. A lot of people showed up, which was, I don't know how we fit that many in our house, but it was just nice to be around people again. People. And I mean, we've been lucky. We're like, we've had our own quarantine bubble. Like the people that my husband works around, like I'm usually pretty good friends with their spouses and so like we've been able to socialize in the last year, which has been like a mental saving grace. But now like being able to open up and like see more people and not being worried about so much stuff. Cause you know, I'm vaccinated. So it's so nice. So you just forget how much you miss that stuff.
I know it is. Especially if you're an extrovert, which I am. I'm just,
Oh
my gosh, people. Yes. Hi guys. I don't know you, but let's be friends. Okay. I don't get out much.
I am such an extrovert. I mean, like the RHFP has been like a huge help during the pandemic. We grew so much during the pandemic. And I think that was because everyone's stuck at home, but you know, I forgot how to like relate to people in person. I'm like, I know how to talk, you know, through social media, but I don't know how to interact LOL. With people anymore. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's so good. Yeah. I'm just so happy now that things are opening.
I know. Me too. I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, Courtney, this has been awesome. I really appreciate you coming on and
talking about. Thanks for having me.
Oops. In sexy time.
Yeah.
Where can everyone like find you, see your work, or, like if they were interested in getting their chakras cleansed?
Oh my gosh, yes. I love it. So you can, I'm on social media at Courtney Boyer Coaching. So like LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then right now my website is thesteppingstonescoach.com. It'll change to CourtneyBoyerCoaching.com. So that's where awesome. You can find me and get all
I'll
the
tag that because it'll yeah, I imagine it'll you'll probably redirect people from yeah. that if they type yeah. that in. Well, this is awesome. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
It's so much fun.
Me too.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening and please check in with us and stay tuned for next episode. We're gonna slow it down a bit, so probably every other week this summer, but